Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. We are all business today. Conversations at the intersection of business, life, and community. Always talking to people that do and care, that get out of bed every day and say, how can we make greater Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin a better place to live, work, and play in? With us today is Dale Coyenga, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the MMAC, our neighbors here at the Avenue. An easy commute for you, Dale.
You're literally a walk down from the office.
It's wonderful. Let's get right into it. I want to give you time kind of to give us the brief, who am I, Dale Coyenga story. We'll do that in a little bit. But on Friday, you had a pretty special visit with the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith. And Smith spent several days in southeastern Wisconsin visiting with Wisconsin leaders, kind of looking at their plans for Pleasant Prairie. What did you learn from that meeting?
Well, it's really exciting that Microsoft is so interested in Southeast Wisconsin. There's a strong history, not only with Brad Smith, but other leaders at Microsoft, of ties into Southeast Wisconsin, particularly from childhood where they grew up.
Yeah.
University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee has a tie-in. So
the CEO of Microsoft is a UWM grad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And he's donated there, and they're definitely, they independent of their historic ties at a personal level with the region. Microsoft, which is, by the way, the largest company in the world from a market cap perspective, it is a very reputable company that brings a lot of goodwill to conversations. People appreciate their stewardness in the environment. They're very interested in education matters. The heart of their technology is really about connecting people, education, information. So a great steward of the environment and the business community. But when you really look at what they look at around the world, they invest around the world, mm-hmm. and they're choosing Milwaukee for some of their most significant investments. And they're doing that because from a security standpoint, safe place. We just don't have wars here. We're politically stable. Right. Natural
the
disasters.
The climate's pretty good. Yeah.
Climate's good. Natural disasters we don't have. The workforce is good. People work hard. The technical college system's good. We have MSOEs and UWMs and UWs in close proximity. So you go down the list, there's a lot of things that they're interested in. And so they talked about that. They talked about artificial intelligence and how this all comes together.
Okay. Yeah, investing billions of dollars in the development of its cloud infrastructure right here in Pleasant Prairie. The president will be in town tomorrow in Racine County to highlight this massive increase in scale of Microsoft's new data center. So a really good win for the region. So congratulations to everyone involved, and we look forward to more announcements tomorrow from Microsoft and Pleasant Prairie.
There will be announcements, and it'll be exciting, and there'll be a lot of construction going on and a lot of other jobs that go with it. And so looking forward to Microsoft making that next layer of announcements as far as what this all means.
And it continues to kind of mark the return of manufacturing to the region, which is a big portion of what the MMAC is all about as well.
It does. And it's an interesting story because what happens is people look at their phones, they look at the screens, and they assume, oh, that's what's happening. I'm looking at a screen. Right. What they're not seeing is that in order to project that information in front of you, in order to do these massive calculations, it still comes down to hardware. So you need the infrastructure to bring that to you. You need these large, large computers that have very sophisticated chips and cooling systems. And so that has to go somewhere. And when you're building that, there's a manufacturing component. There's the electricians and the carpenters and the steel workers and the pipe fitters all going there doing their thing. They need education institutions to support that. So this whole economy, this whole experience that is coupling with the digital world also has a huge physical component. And Wisconsin's a leader on that. We are the number one manufacturing state in the country per capita. We are number one for precise manufacturing, especially when it comes to automation and robotics. And now you couple on that with AI. So it's caught Microsoft's eye, and I think it's going to catch other investors' eyes as well.
All right. More with Dale Coyenga from the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce when we come back. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe, WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or on the WTMJ mobile app. The nomination period is open now through May 10th. Finalists will be recognized during Hero Week, which runs May 20th through May 24th. Help us tell your story. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Dale Coyenga from the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce joins us. Dale, you've spent a lot of time in the studio in your first, 100 days at the MMAC?
Yeah, it's been a good amount of time in the studio.
Okay, I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of give us the 90-second Dale Coyenga story. Give us the overview of who you are and how you got here.
I grew up in Southside Chicago.
Okay.
I'm the first man in my family to go to college. My mom was a nurse. My dad a garbage man. So I went to community college for 2 years.
Okay.
Played basketball there. That brought me to Lakeland.
Nice.
Graduated Lakeland with an accounting degree. Got a job here in Milwaukee. Then, inspired by 9/11, joined the military with my two brothers. So all three of us joined the military together. I've now been in the Army for... in my 20th year here, and along that way ran for the state assembly, state senate. So the last 12 years has been three balls in the air. It's been a lot of military. Still do a lot in the Army Reserves, battalion commander right now. I do a lot in business as a CPA and political for 12 years, how most people know me publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, that's a new chapter, and that's behind me.
Right.
We have four kids, live in Brookfield. My wife, Jennifer, is a nurse at Children's Hospital.
Okay.
And now, very happy to be in the new role of president of Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce.
All right. Yeah, you said juggling three balls. You're juggling four balls with four kids. That was 90 seconds. That was perfect. Yes. A wonderful overview. So what is All In Milwaukee and what was announced yesterday?
Yeah, so All In Milwaukee is a program that initially started out in Minneapolis, and the founder then moved to Milwaukee and wanted to replicate it. And it's something that we desperately need in Milwaukee. If you look at the graduation rate for our minorities graduating high school in Milwaukee, only 15% of them graduated 2 or 4 year institution. 15%. Now, if you look at the biggest challenge in the Milwaukee area, it's demographics. We have a declining population. We need more of our population. So that sounds a little bit, from a business perspective, we need talent. We need people to work for us. Also, what's equally important, maybe more important, is just education oftentimes builds character. It builds experiences. It's part of being a whole, living a fruitful, healthy life. So that's another reason that we're interested in these issues, to get after talent, livability, and growth in the area. So All In Milwaukee is an organization that identifies students that are graduating Milwaukee high schools, and they walk them through the journey of applying and getting into those schools. And then in that journey, they serve as that adult to lean on, to encourage, to bounce ideas off of, and see them through graduation. And so MMAC, with our partner United Healthcare, was proud to announce yesterday that we're going to give $600,000 to support that program and make sure that more of our students are getting through college, either 2-year or 4-year, and that when they do that, that they stay here in Milwaukee and are part of our community.
As part of the recruitment retention initiative that MMAC and other organizations
subscribe
to.
It's huge. And we're diving down, deep dive in the numbers here, but what we sense is happening is that our top high school students from Milwaukee high schools, a lot of them are leaving the area. And then when they leave the area for whatever the opportunity is, they're not coming back here. So what we want to do is we want to do more intentional and deliberate in our programming, our policies, and our projects to tie them into our community, internships, introductions, different groups, and have this be a stickier place for those that are graduating Milwaukee high schools.
Well, and you look at the research, too, in terms of diverse healthcare workforce. You can improve patient care in the long run by making these kind of commitments now.
Yeah, that's the tie with United Healthcare, is that when you look at the increase in healthcare costs, a lot of people get upset with your hospital, you get upset with your insurance company. This is just simply supply and demand. And the fact is that we have an aging population that's not unique to Milwaukee. This is a nationwide, this is an international phenomenon in everywhere but Africa. And you need more workers to do that. So we don't have enough workers. We have an aging population that requires more healthcare. We need more professionals in healthcare. So this particular $600,000 is going to be focused on healthcare workers into that field here with places like Children's Hospital, Frederick. So what's hopefully the first step in doing more of this kind of stuff.
All right. When we come back from the break, along the lines of recruitment and retention, we talk about it often on The Upswing. The importance of helping local talent succeed, and more importantly, making sure they stay right here in metropolitan Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. We're back. Welcome back to The Upswing. Talking today with the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, Dale Coinga. Dale, what are the stats around talent, and what are some of the other cities that Metro Milwaukee is competing against in kind of this global war for talent?
Well, it is a global war for talent. From a more concentrated standpoint, there's a national war for talent, and the Midwest generally has been in the losing side recently on that, losing a lot of population to the Sun Belt part of the country. So the population in the U.S. over the last 10 years has increased by 8%. Milwaukee's at 0%. And if you're really going to break it down and say, okay, more specifically, who are we competing against? I would just say two parts. There's one we're competing against outstate Wisconsin. We talk more about that and unpack that in a minute.
Okay.
The second thing is let's take out weather and I'm going to retire going south. Let's take that out and just simply say, how are we competing against other Midwestern cities? And we're not doing very well.
Yeah.
In fact, we're doing really bad. So if you look at cities that I don't think have anything on us, to be honest with you, I'm not trying to be, Mr. Milwaukee here. But if you look at the experience we have, the professional sports team, the arts, the lakes, everything we have, the number of Fortune 500 companies, there's cities that are beating us pretty handily. So let's just take Columbus. They saw an increase of 8,000 since 2016. We lost 32,000. Kansas City is another one. Kansas City had a net increase of 28,000. So when you talk about the delta on this, Milwaukee's loss of 32,000 and Indy's gain of 28,000. I mean, you're talking like Brookfield size population that's gone from the metro.
Yeah.
So we got to be more intentional about this, both from a public policy perspective, from a program perspective. And that's what we're in the midst of doing right now, is doing a strategic review to say, okay, what are we measuring? What are we going to do to change this trajectory, and let's hold ourselves accountable to have a different, because we have it here. I think it's a marketing problem. There's some policy problems. We need to get after it.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned cities like Columbus and Indianapolis and Kansas City. They're all kind of cities that we compete against in terms of size. But I think when you look at Milwaukee, and I say it all the time, city's only as good as the stories it tells. How do we encourage more corporate bullhorns, if you will, to sing the praises of what Milwaukee's all about? And I know that's a big part of your platform in your first year as president at the MMAC.
It is. I was actually with Governor Evers in D.C. for a dinner, and at that dinner there was, Newsom was there and Pritzker was there, and it just struck me, and I was talking to the governor about this. I said, one of our challenges as a state is we're just very Midwest nice.
Yeah.
And you can just picture those three governors, right? You can picture like Newsom with his hair flying in the air, and Mr. Hollywood with his shirt unbuttoned, like, California's great, we're the best. And then that's just not the way our governor talks, because our governor represents kind of that Midwestern mentality of, nice to see you.
Right.
And we got to do more, I think, of saying this is the place you want to be. I mean, there's so much we have going for us. Our downtown is very vibrant. We have statistics to tell that and tell that story from the University of Toronto. Our manufacturing, which is a manufacturing renaissance in America, we're at the heart of manufacturing excellence right here. So we have the story. We're not telling the story very well. I think we need to look at the success of places like Visit Milwaukee with tourism. And we need to now take that marketing, take some of that structure, those ideas. How do we translate that into keeping people here? And then when they come here or passing through, that we catch their attention and keep them here. So that's a gargantuan task, but I like gargantuan tasks.
Exactly. I mean, and as it's a constant ongoing campaign. We have to continue to package and promote and position our message and get it out there as in all ways that we can. Because if we don't do it, no one else is going to do it.
Right. And cities die.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, throughout history books, you could talk about ancient cities. You could talk about cities. Just look at the cities. There was times where Sheboygan was a lot larger than Milwaukee. And you could go through all these different dynamics of things change. And unfortunately, Sheboygan's a good example where it's not a city that died, but it's very different than it was before. Just all these numbers as far as we don't want to end up like parts of Detroit where they have entire city blocks where they just take a bulldozer to the whole thing because people just don't want to live there. And so we don't have that case here in Milwaukee, but if we're not very smart about our policies, very smart about being intentional about marketing who we are, then you're going to have those problems long term. Because a lot of the problems you're talking about, you need population, you need people here. And that's how economic growth happens, through population growth. That's part of it. And then also solutions for other things like transit helps with more people and more businesses. So we need more people.
And we want to meet the mayor's goal of getting 1 million people in the city. It's going to take a collaborative, concerted effort between all organizations, and everyone's got to work together and kind of be singing from the same hymn book, right?
Yeah, I think we're moving that direction. I think the mayor, county executive in particular, are adults in the room who get that. Let's not talk politics. Okay. Let's talk about larger things that pull us together and pull the region.
Very good. Welcome back to the Upswing, moving Milwaukee, moving greater Milwaukee forward each and every day. That's what we do on this show. Talking with Dale Coyenga, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. So the MMAC's Region of Choice program, phase 1.0, is coming to an end. What have been the successes of this initiative, Dale?
Well, just to back up a little bit, Region of Choice came about 5-6 years ago, is my predecessor, Tim Sheehy, went around and did a process I just did as well and spoke to hundreds of CEOs and said, what are the greatest assets and liabilities of the Milwaukee region? And the number one liability back when he did it last was racial gaps, racial lack of prosperity in the minority community in Milwaukee. So based on that, they got together, MMAC, with over 130 employers representing 120,000 employees. And they said, let's see what we could do to be more intentional about trying to get black and brown talent into positions of management.
To really increase that black and brown employment management.
Exactly. Portion. To better represent that. These companies said, hey, it's going to be good for our business. It'd be good for us longer term as far as this talent pipeline if we had more diverse communities part of the management here. And that Region of Choice 1.0 has absolutely crushed all their goals. There's been an increase of 9.2% of the overall total, and that translates into over 3,500 more minority employees in Milwaukee. So if you look, we just did a scattergram looking at this when we looked at the results of recent election as far as what populations voted other way, certain ways. And what's remarkable is when you look at households with children are minority households, and white households don't have as many children by far in Milwaukee. So my point is, we're already in the core of the economic hub here in Milwaukee, we're already a majority minority community. And if you look at our trajectory, it's going to be much more population center of minority community. So we got to make sure our economy is reflecting opportunities for everyone in our community, and Milwaukee has struggled on that.
Yeah, and no matter what, we're kind of all fighting against the fact that no matter where you are, people aren't having as many kids as they used to. So there's a population crunch right there.
That is a big issue that we're dealing with.
So what does phase two of this program look like? I mean, we talk a lot about regional collaboration models. Where are you looking for inspiration for kind of phase 2.0 for Region of Choice?
Yeah, I think there's places that historically have done really well in this. Atlanta comes to mind. We've heard that from Atlanta. Houston's another city that comes to mind.
Is OKC still in that mix? It used to seem like 15 years ago, everyone was looking to OKC for economic development and talent recruitment models.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing on this front.
Okay.
But here, what we're looking at is Region Choice 2.0. What's the next step of that? And we're developing that right now in consultation with those employers that initially were part of the first phase. But if I had to guess the direction we're going and what I'm hearing is that Region Choice 1.0 was about, hey, we really want to have more representation of black and brown talent in management. I think Region 2.0 is going more the direction of, okay, we need a bigger bench of talent. So how are we more intentional about getting better results from K through 12, getting them through school so that they're available for management positions. So it's that I think is where the opportunity is, saying, hey, we have some education issues here in Milwaukee we need to deal with. Like, how do we get more people, one, to get through there so they're ready for management positions someday? And two is, when individuals come here that are black and brown talent, how do they fall in love with the city and feel sticky versus, oh, I moved to Milwaukee, bought a house in Menominee Falls, I'm working in Grafton, I just never felt connected to the community. We got to be more intentional about making sure that they feel connected to this community.
We'll continue our talk with Dale Coinga from the MAC. We'll look into what the M7 region is doing next. And I want to ask Dale, what are some of the best lessons he learned in politics and how he's implementing them in his new role at the MAC? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We're talking with Dale Coinga from the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Dale, the M7 region, I want to talk about economic growth. But first, what are some of the best lessons you learned in politics, and how are you implementing those in your new role now?
Well, there's a lot of times in that 12 years of politics where I wanted to lose my temper and go to social media and just let them have it. And I always kept my cool, never just let it fly. And there's a market for that. I mean, as you see in both parties, is if you want to communicate with hatred, you want to communicate with evening the score and remember people their mistakes, there's a market for that, and you're going to get a lot of likes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you try to conduct yourself like a professional, try to be the adult in the room, you may not always be like the social media darling.
Right.
But as far as getting things done, you're going to get things done. And that's what really matters. And I'll tell you the second lesson is, this is a longer story, which I won't go into, but there was a point in my time where I had to decide, do I want to be an ideologue? Do I want to be a purist? Or do I want to be someone who's willing to take half a loaf in order to get something done? Mm-hmm. And I decided, and part of it was inspired based on the U.S. Constitution that was not perfect when it was first crafted, but became better over time, is that I was willing to take half a loaf and then try to get another half a loaf. And so that pragmatism, I think, worked very well. And so that's just life, and that's in this new job now, is be reasonable, listen. You're not going to get everything you want, but if you're moving the right direction, that's the right answer.
One of my early mentors, as we were actually working on Young Professionals of Milwaukee, which is now Fuel Milwaukee underneath MMAC's umbrella, was Gary Gruno. And Gary always used to tell me, Sherm, Jeff, collaborate or die. That's what it's all about, collaborate or die. And I think that's a great message for all of us. Let's talk about economic growth in Greater Milwaukee and what the M7 region is all about. How do you define the M7?
Yeah, so the M7 is part of MMAC, and it's very specific on economic development. And the economic development is a very interesting. I'm just learning it, and when I was hired at MMAC a little over a year ago, it's fascinating. And it's the process of pitching large corporations and other investors on your region. And so our M7 team has really, really done a good job. And the most recent win that you'll hear more about tomorrow is Microsoft. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole list of companies that are here or have grown here because of M7. Milwaukee Tool, Pfizer, Eli Lilly just purchased the Nexus Labs in Kenosha County. I could go through a longer list here, but
obviously the downtown headquarters expansion.
Yeah, I mean, and it takes a pitch. It takes someone to stand up from the region and say, here's why you want to invest here. Here's the available workforce. Here's the amenities. Here's the electrical power grid. Here's the tax advantages. And so our team does that, and our team has done a very, very good job doing that. And I think the biggest wins are still ahead of us. I think that the strategy that we're following, which is to capitalize on our manufacturing excellence as it is great because of the robotics and automation component, and now coupling on the AI component on top of that, in addition to our strong healthcare system, and then also you typically wouldn't say it revolve around strategy from just Microsoft, but I think the Microsoft opportunity is so big that we can attract other companies that want to be part of Microsoft's orbit. And so we're getting more and more interest in M7, and we are looking to build our capabilities.
Okay, very good. After the break, we will talk about true, real wins on the court as a region, kind of a passion subject for both of us, the importance of youth sports as we continue to grow metropolitan Milwaukee and the entire state of Wisconsin. This is The Upswing. We're talking with Dale Coinga of the MMAC. We'll be right back after this break.
Sure.
Welcome back. Talking with Dale Coinga of the MMAC, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. A great discussion about how we continue to grow our region. A big part of growing a region are sports. And your path to Wisconsin was through sports, right, Dale?
It was. Yeah, I mean, followed the balance of basketball to the region.
Yes. I mean, and, you know, coming to Lakeland College for hoops, like, what did you know about Wisconsin? You know, before he kind of got recruited to play ball here.
I knew this is embarrassing, but it was like cheese and it was ski up here. I remember skiing in Alpine Valley and stopping at A&W Rip here in 94.
All right.
And I think we took our class trip for some reason in eighth grade to the Milwaukee County Zoo.
Were you able to put aside some of your sports alliances when you got to college right away?
Very quickly.
Your fandom?
Very quickly.
Right,
I fell in love with Wisconsin. I fell in love with Wisconsin. Very quickly.
And we have that power. That's good.
Yes.
That's good. So why are youth sports so important to a region? And, you know, specifically, it just the life skills and the leadership lessons that they teach our kids.
Well, there's a yin and a yang here.
Yeah.
There's a great book called The Big Scrum, which is a story of how Teddy Roosevelt saved the game of football. And I think that book really captures the essence of why sports are so important to the American character and the go out and get them and the team and the aspects that sports teach as far as character and emotional intelligence and taking care of yourself physically. And so I'm a big fan of sports. I think sports is part of your life, not your whole life. I do think some people make sports their religion.
Yeah.
And there's a danger of that, but I always talk about the four-legged stool. I won't go through all those, but I think having athletics and sports as one of those legs of that stool is very important. So our kids are all in it.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure the sports shuffle on the weekends in the Coinga household is fast and furious.
It is fast and furious. We are doing a lot of paying off other teenagers to drive kids around, and a lot of sticking the thumb out with other families, like, you drive this way, we'll drive that way. And it's a constant. We on Sunday nights, Jennifer and I, my wife, we sit down and we go through the week, or we try to. Sometimes we get distracted. If we're not driving kids around, we sit down Sunday night and we go through the week. Okay, how is so-and-so getting to so-and-so? We have three different girls on three different volleyball teams.
Okay.
So it's Sting, 414 and Wisconsin Elite, and then our son's on a basketball AAU team. So we are driving all over the city. Luckily, we live in a city where everything is pretty much 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Versus a Chicago where you have to drive maybe an hour, 90 minutes, and the traffic issues. So we're fortunate on that side, but it's a lot of coordination.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we do the same thing in the Sherman household. It's a lot of coordination, but it's a lot of fun. And everyone says, you know what? You're going to look back in a couple of years, and when it's all over, you're going to be like, wow. I miss
it. It is fun. And great parents and great kids. And I sound like an old timer, but here I go. I know your audience is probably more sympathetic to this, and there's probably not a lot of kids rolling their eyes. But when I was a kid, we would actually take a ball and go outside, and we'd play basketball and wiffle ball and then hockey, some on rollerblades, some with the ice skates down, the football. And then we'd make up games, you know, like baseball in the pool with a basketball hoop, you know. It just seems, and we have a healthy community with a decent amount of kids, but nothing like where I grew up. And it just seems like time will be filled with screen time. Yeah. There's less of this neighborhood, let's grab a ball and play. And so there is a point where it gets too much, but I think there's also a point where if you don't fill your kids' time with good activities, then there is more in this generation than previous generations that they gravitate to those screens. And those screens are not good. And I'm just talking about socially. There's developmental studies on the impact on screens on people's brains at all ages, but particularly for our youth, that is not good for them.
So from a regional sports standpoint, who are you cheering for in the NBA playoffs now that the Bucks are eliminated?
Well, I got to make to our audience, you gave me a heads up on this at break, and I still cannot give my love to the teams that are left, which is the Celtics, Cavaliers, Pacers, Knicks, Thunders, Thunder, Mavericks, Timberwolves, and Nuggets. So this may be one of the points where I sit down on the couch next to my son.
Yeah.
My fellow, I'm 6'7". My son's 6'6". Yeah. He's a basketball player.
Okay.
So I think what I'm going to do is sit down on the couch next to my son and ask him who we're rooting for. And then just lock arms with them, root on the team together.
Okay, that's good father-son bonding. Yeah. I love it. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, the chief marketing officer there, Mike Growl, is a former Bucks employee. And obviously, Anthony Edwards is shining. So the Sherman household, I think we're going to lock in on the Wolves. And
that's
regional,
respectful.
Right?
That's
the new Amtrak line going to Minnesota, it's all about collaboration.
For you, bro.
That's right.
And I come in an Army unit in Minnesota, so I should probably root for the Minnesota team and love for my Army units that's located right outside of that stadium there. But I also like to stand in front of formation just trying to talk crap about how great Milwaukee is.
Right.
And it's hard at this point in time. So,
all right.
In the NBA realm with Minnesota compared. So I think I'll just go with the former strategy to see what my son's rooting for and jump on that bandwagon.
Sounds good. Dale Coyne, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.